This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KYW Original Podcasts.
A milestone decade celebration for a culinary event that has raised $5 million for Fringe Arts.
The theme of decadence.
Decadence.
It's really a smorgasbord for the senses.
So, Feastival turns 10 this year. If you're not from Philadelphia or you're new to the area, this is a big event in the Philadelphia food scene where they bring the culinary arts and the performing arts together, and they have it at some beautiful art space, and they have like people flying from the ceiling, and you know, every single restaurant that you've ever wanted to go to is represented at this event. So this year, for the 10th anniversary, I brought in three guests. Usually I interview maybe like one of the co-hosts, but I wanted to kind of get a behind-the-scenes look of what it takes to put this gigantic event together. I think this year they're having over 1,000 people there. So I brought some of the producers of Feastival to come into the studio and talk to me. So let's find out. I'm going to ask them who's going to be showing off their wares, who's going to be represented, what restaurants are going to be represented at Feastival, what kind of performances are there going to be, and what does it take to put everything on behind the scenes? All right, let's find out.
This is a podcast about food in and around Philadelphia.
That's a quick, delicious, flavorful bite.
It was really hard for me to get into it.
Stories from behind the kitchen.
This is a wood-burning oven from Italy.
It is intense.
And hear about quirky stuff, too.
Eat a pint of ice cream as quickly as you can, and then resume the 5K.
This is What's Cooking on KYW.
I'm Hadass Kuznets, and we are talking about Feastival. Feastival takes place this year on Thursday, September 26th. And this time we have a team of people in the studio. We have Joanne Martyr, who is development director with Feastival, David Todaro, who is director of production, that's the performances, and Kelly Clark, who is the logistics producer, and she deals with a lot of the vendors and the restaurants. So we've got a lot to talk about. First of all, there's only three of you here, but I'm assuming there's a lot more behind the scenes. So about how many people are we talking that have to put on this big giant production?
Well, as a core team, we have about six members. And then I think day of, how much labor do we have, Kelly?
Hundreds.
Yeah.
So many. Yeah, we have hundreds of people who literally help us put this event together every year.
Because it's huge.
It's huge. Mm-hmm.
So for people that don't know, Joanne, since you're kind of giving us the overall picture, why don't you explain what Feastival is?
So Feastival is the annual benefit for Fringe Arts, which is a performing arts nonprofit in Philadelphia. Feastival is co-hosted by Audrey Teichman, Michael Solomonoff, Nick Elmy, and Steven Starr, and they brought together this concept to bring the culinary scenes and the art scenes in Philadelphia and bring this huge party every year. It's just a celebration of Philadelphia's culinary scenes, art scenes, and it's a great benefit for Fringe Arts.
Describe the party, because it's pretty unique.
It is pretty unique. So we usually have people, we have aerialists, we have all kinds of different performances. We usually have music. Some years we have weird light installations. And then on top of it, we have 70 of Philadelphia's most wonderful chefs and bars who come out and they make these wonderful dishes. And it's all these performance elements. And then you're having this wonderful food from like chefs who you just don't necessarily get a chance to try all their food except for at this one sitting. So it's great.
And this year, logistically, it's different, right? Because it's moved around to different places.
Right. So this year, we actually were at Cherry Street Pier the first 3 years. Then we moved to Fringe Arts. And we're back at Cherry Street Pier to work with the new location because they opened a public park there.
Wait, the first year was where?
First year was at 5th and Fairmount. Yeah. The second, third, and fourth years were at what we then called Pier 9 because it wasn't even Cherry Street Pier yet.
Right.
Take me through it. Yeah. Let's go. Because this is the 10th year, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I'm digging back into my memory, so I apologize if I get these wrong. First is 5th and Fairmount, which is that warehouse is now gone. Right. It's now condos, I believe. Then we were at Pier 9. Then we were on the Delaware River waterfront where that old pylon is in the parking lot. And then since then, we've been at Fringe Arts. We've actually closed down the portion of Ray Street between the 95 and Columbus Boulevard. We take that over and have done the event outside there. So this year will be a return to, I think, some of our cooler, more development years back at Cherry Street Pier.
So now with Cherry Street Pier all developed, describe what it's going to look like.
Oh, it's very different, especially previous years. We used about half of the space. But now that there are all the shipping containers and the beautiful other elements in there, it's going to take the entire length of the pier. When you walk into the event, before you even see any of the restaurants or anything like that, there'll be performers in the air above you. The Audi cars will be around you. We'll be activating one of the cars with a VR painter. Which will be on a screen in the event. It's really a smorgasbord for the senses. You walk in and are just battered with this beautiful art, and then there's this amazing food around and drinks while you're there.
Wow.
Something cool about the layout this year compared to the years that it's at Le Peg and when we closed down Ray Street is to get through the entire event, you kind of had to go into all of these different areas and you might miss something. Versus in Cherry Street Pier, it's a flow. You walk in and you can walk all the way to the end and you can hit all the restaurants, hit the bars.
And what do they need? Anything special this year? Because you're in charge of their special requests or anything they're asking for. So what are they asking for this year?
I mean, our chefs are pretty good. They don't ask for anything that they know that we can't get them. There are cooking requirements or cooking restrictions, I should say, in the new venue. So when we were out in the street, they had a little bit more freedom with what they could use. Open flame was allowed, propane was allowed. And now that we're in an actual venue in a closed space, they can't have any open flame. They can only use electric cooking. So they have to get a little bit more creative and probably cook some of the stuff before they get on site. But the dishes that they came up with this new cooking equipment are really spectacular, and it's a huge variety.
And the liquid nitrogen there, too, is an interesting recent request.
Mm-hmm. Who's asking for liquid nitrogen?
I think our sponsors is asking for a liquid nitrogen ice cream station outside, weather permitting.
Yes. Oh, the sponsors were asking? Are one of the chefs doing it?
So some of our sponsors have lounges or other experiences throughout the event as well. So they're going to bring in a liquid nitrogen ice cream.
Sponsor. Right. So this year that's Audi, who is our title sponsor since it's Audi Festival, and they're doing this cool nitrate ice cream thing. And we have Maker's Mark, who's a sponsor as well. They're doing a lounge this year. And so there's those kinds of activations as well.
Awesome. All right, Kelly, it's on you now. Let's go back to the food. Give us a taste of some of the unique dishes because you get the menus ahead of time, right?
We do, yes.
Before we talk about the menus, what's that like? I'm sure that sounds like a logistical nightmare dealing with 70 chefs from the, you know, all these really busy restaurants in the city.
Right. They are really busy, and probably the most difficult thing when you're trying to gather information from these restaurants is that I'm working typically like a 9-to-5 schedule. That's when I'm in the office. And a lot of these restaurants, they're working nights. So they're getting in when I'm leaving. And if I'm trying to call, they're not necessarily in their offices yet. So it's always kind of that playing phone tag and trying to get people to answer your emails. But we had a really good turnaround this year. We received all of our paperwork within 1 week. So I think people are just super excited about the 10th year.
They're learning.
Yeah. You've trained them well. Yes.
I harassed them well. Enough that they got back to me. But
so the 10th year, that's going to be like a big one for the restaurants. Do they all want to show off?
I think they do. I mean, people were emailing us about the 10th year before we were contacting them. So we were getting a lot of requests like, hey, when are we going to start hearing about Festival this year? We want to participate again.
All right. What are some of the dishes we're going to be able to experience?
You're going to see, because of the cooking restrictions, which I think is a great thing, you're going to see a lot of seafood dishes. We have a lot of people coming in with dishes that they don't have to cook on site. It's like really fresh and beautifully prepared, like sushi and tuna tartare. And then you, of course, have restaurants doing their specialties. So like Chew, they're going to be featuring Nunu, which is one of their new restaurants, doing that like Asian specialty food.
This is a great place to, like you said, to check out all the new restaurants, see what's hot right now and what's coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what can we expect that's new this year?
Well, some of the feedback we got last year was that we needed a little more diversity with women. So we really took a good look at our roster and we worked with our co-host and we talked about adding more women this year. So we added 7 women chefs this year. There's so many tremendous ones in Philadelphia. So that's going to be a new aspect of it that we're really excited about.
So you specifically went and said, hey, participate with us. Why weren't they part of it in the beginning? Is it because...
You know what I think it was is that Feastival, one of the things we try to do because we feel very much that our chefs are so important to this event is when you do it 1 year, we never don't invite you back. So at a certain point, there was a lot of restaurants that were grandfathered in and then some restaurants had left. And it happened that this year we had a lot of fluctuation and we had space. So we were able to sort of make more room for new partners. And it's been amazing. And I'm really glad that we had an opportunity to sort of look at how we can be more diverse.
I wonder, like, if you're a guy and you're like, hey, my friend is also a guy.
Right.
Like, come in. They should be a part of it, too.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So who are some of the new female chefs?
So we have Sate Kampar. We have Angie. And we have Biology, Kiki.
No, Judy.
I'll answer it. So Kiki's at Poi Dog from Poi Dog. She is new. Actually, she was in last year. So we have Biology. We have Sate Kampar. Essen Bakery has joined us this year. And a couple other ones that I'm blanking on.
Aether has a female chef. Sweetbox is a new addition.
Is it? There we go.
Gretchen.
Gretchen is wonderful.
Well, you look at places like Essen Bakery. She's not just a female chef. She's a James Beard nominee.
Absolutely.
Nominated chef. She's like...
Right. And, you know, when you sort of limit yourself by the amount of restaurants and sort of grandfathering in, and then when you have an opportunity to add, you realize, wow, these talented women are all over Philadelphia, and it's really great.
Art Risa and Jill coming back, too, as a bar.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's 7.
Yeah, that's right. So Lalo is also joining us this year. And Risa Mueller, who's one of the owners, used to also do Feastival. She was our logistics person for many years.
And now she's a chef.
Yeah.
And Jill, her wife, was the bar manager.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And Jill was the bar manager for Feastival. Mm-hmm. So they went and started their own restaurant and were like, come and participate. So... it's exciting.
It's like full circle for
yeah.
them. This must be like a big deal for them also to join on the 10th year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It feels very nice to have them come in that capacity. So,
food-wise, what else is special for the 10th year? Or drink-wise?
Drink-wise, we have the most bars participating that we've ever had before. So we have a total of 10 bars, not including the sponsor lounges, which would add an additional 2 bars. So you're not going to have trouble finding a drink at this event. We want everyone to have fun at the 10th year. Every bar will be making a signature cocktail with a drink. So we're assigning like a gin or a tequila or a whiskey. And each bar will, in addition to offering a full bar, will be serving something that they've been working on, a recipe behind the scenes and specifically for Feastival, not even something that they have at their real live bars, their brick and mortar.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Something, one bar for every year.
That's right.
That's true.
And how many people are expected to come?
About 1,100.
11. How many people does the space hold?
We're at our max.
Yeah. We are. Yeah,
we're at our max.
Off.
So it holds about 1,100.
1,100.
Is it going to be crowded?
It shouldn't be too bad. It's crowded logistically in the sense like we don't have room for more restaurants. We don't have room for more bars. As far as our placement of tables go, we've taken up the entire space, but we're working every like thing that we put into the CAD. We work to make sure that there's still going to be a flow, there won't be any backup, that lines won't form at the bars.
And it's such a long and narrow space. Of course, there'll be some places where you bump elbows, it's not going to feel empty, but there'll be also retreats towards the end of the pier in that beautiful garden that'll probably be a little less populated if you wanted to get away from the crowd.
Yeah. Tell me a little about the performers and the performances, the setup.
Yeah, so we're very excited this year. We have approximately 25 aerialist performances throughout the space. In past years, we've had wonderful artists in Philly come together and do their individual performances around Feastival. But this year, we've partnered with Olaf Tribel down from Montreal, a famous company, Seven Fingers of the Hand. And he is curating curating all of the acts, many of which are coming through the Philadelphia Circus School. So it's still local artists, local sourcing, but with this one person we've worked with at Fringe Arts many years in the past, curating the overall performances for the event. So there should be never a time where you're standing at Feastival and not near several performers. If they're dancing on a stage, if they're behind a window, if they're in the air, there'll be a whole different group of people everywhere.
Tell me about the evolution of Feastival. You, David, have been there since the beginning.
Yes, I was a lowly stagehand in the beginning. It started off as still a great fundraiser for Feastival, but we kind of scrapped it together, our fringy people just throwing together this event and partner with like Audrey Teichman, who helped start it from the food. And every year it's just become logistically more hard but rewarding. It's been a great to build it and sell more tickets and support Fringe Arts throughout the whole time.
And I feel like every year you have to outdo yourself.
In one way or another, yes. Especially this year being the theme of decadence.
Yeah. Decadence is the theme for this milestone year?
It's a theme decadence. This year.
It's a decade in decadence.
A decade and decadence.
Yeah.
So food-wise, what are you seeing with the theme of decadence?
It's not something that we specifically shared with our chefs. When we're thinking decadence, we're really thinking in our color palette and like the overall theme of the event, really beautiful performances and black and white and the focus being on the food. But we're definitely seeing some savory dishes in those themes as well.
The first thing that comes to mind is like a chocolate upon chocolate upon chocolate upon chocolate dessert. That's what I'm thinking.
We do have a lot of restaurants doing desserts. We want to make it like when you're walking through the space, you can find whatever you're looking for.
So how is it set up? Is it set up savory and sweets, like all together, or is it all mixed up?
It's all mixed up.
No, and we work with the restaurant scene to make sure that we're pairing dishes that are different next to each other and near each other. So walking through the event, there's no zones of any specific thing. Mm-hmm. The idea is to have a great variety around you at all times.
Do you have menus and other menus, like other things to tell us about the food?
I will say I was privy to the list and my wife and I looked at it and mapped out
where you're going to eat, yes. What you're going to do. We want to know the highlights. Some of the places to go. We need a map. Do people get a map? Or you should post a map.
We've done directional signage before, but honestly, the idea is it's kind of fringy in feeling. You're walking in, you're wandering around, you're experiencing things as you go. So it's not. We didn't want to provide a Disney World map with each restaurant label, but of course, each restaurant has their sign next to it. So as you walk through the event, you'll know who is serving what food, and we want you to go through and discover new places, new restaurants. Yeah. It's definitely a place to eat food you wouldn't have expected to eat or order at a restaurant.
Yeah, there's been some real. Last year we had an ice bear luge on a caviar station, and there was Todd Wenz from Townsend and Jesse Ito from Royal Ezekiah, and they had a ice bear that was giving people shots of vodka with the caviar and everything.
That's awesome. So these are unique dishes. You don't see them because sometimes you can't logistically just do it every night at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have collaborations this year?
We do not have collaborations this year.
No, we're moving away from the collabs because it gives our chefs a little more freedom with their own dishes. So rather than partnering with somebody that maybe has a different style than you, now you're putting out the best food, like what you really specialize in.
Give us some highlights.
Any specific restaurants you want to hear about?
Well, why don't you run down the list of who is going to be there? Because 70, that's a lot. I can't even, you know that whole saying of like, you say, where do you want to go to dinner? And you're like, right. I don't know. So I can't even think of one right now.
It's a perfect Feastival night.
Yeah,
right.
That's when you go to Feastival.
You're like, all of them.
A Kitchen, Aether, Audrey Claire, Bank and Bourbon, Bowology, Barbuzo, Barclay Prime, Bistro La Minette, Chew Fishtown, and Nunu are sharing a table. Continental Midtown, Eclat Chocolate, Emmy Squared, which is a pizza place out of New York coming to Philadelphia for the event, Tradici, Essen Bakery, Federal Donuts, Fond, Fork, Forsythia, Hardania, which has a trailer in the space already, so they will be activating their trailer. Harp and Crown, High Street on Market, Hungry Pigeon, Jezebel's, Kensington Quarters, La Calaca, La Croix, La Vertu, Louie Louie, Mike's Barbecue, Mission Taqueria, Morimoto, Muzi BYOB, Nord, and Winkle are sharing a table, Oyster House, Park, Philadelphia OIC, Pizzeria Vetri, Pod, Poi Dog, Res Ispa, Royal Boucherie, Sancho Pistola's, Sate Compar, Scarpetta, South Philadelphia Tap Room, Spice Finch, Stock, Sweetbox, Good King Tavern, Towsend, Amano, and Oloroso, Urban Farmer, Veg, Vernick, Vetri Cucina, Village Whiskey, Walnut Street Cafe, World Cafe Live, and Zahav.
Woohoo.
Are all of our restaurants.
Amazing. From A to Z. A lot of them are notable.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so some highlights of some of the... Okay, let's go with Zahav, because that is one of your hosts and also the best restaurant in America.
They are serving fresh lamb, a fresh lamb dish.
How do they do that with just an electric hot pot or whatever you're giving them now?
They'll probably cook some in advance and then prepare on site. So with the electric equipment, you can have an electric convection oven, an electric griddle, an electric tabletop fryer, or a butane burner. So there are some options for cooking on site, and a lot of chefs are still cooking on site.
So if it's all kind of mostly cooked, then you're like kind of heating up and plating, table side. Maybe let's do like savory highlights and sweet highlights.
Vetri Cucina is doing a gnocchi. Sauté Compare is doing a beef heart dish. Royal Boucherie is doing shaved veal. Yeah, and we do have a lot of desserts that, like dessert places that are doing just an assortment. So they didn't give me a specific dish. They're bringing in a lot of different pastries.
What's Essen doing?
Essen is doing a lemon poppy roulade.
Nice and unique.
Yeah.
Because I think of chocolate. Well, maybe that's just me. All right. You know, just, chocolate always comes to mind. All right. What are you most excited about with this year? I mean, are you nervous because people are expecting a lot with, you know, the decade?
I'm always nervous about this event beforehand and then pleasantly surprised with it after how well everything goes. I would say the performances this year with being a curated idea throughout the entire night. I'm excited to see what Olaf can do to really tie it all together and make it one cohesive performance throughout the event.
And Kelly, what goes on behind the scenes with the restaurants? Is it just madness?
Well, luckily for this event, we have access to the space starting on Monday. The event is until Thursday. So we have a lot of time to set up those stations. So in my grid that I have, I already know who needs forks, who needs plates, who needs spoons. So all of that stuff, including their cooking equipment, can be distributed in advance. So when they arrive on site, I shouldn't hear from them unless something's wrong. So unless they're like missing an item, and then obviously they all have my number, and I have a work phone and a personal phone. Sometimes they get both numbers, so like phones might be ringing at the same time. But I don't hear a ton from them once they're on site unless they're missing an item, which we have all week to prepare for.
We've had some curveballs in the past, though. Like, for example, a restaurant may decide to bring a piece of equipment they didn't tell Kelly about, and I help arrange the power for all this equipment as part of the production end. And they'll show up and say, oh, I brought my whatever burner or fryer this time that needs this much power. I'm like, oh. Like, where am I going to get that power from? It's Thursday at 4 p.m. where the event starts in 2 hours.
What have you done in the past? Do they just not use it?
Oh, sometimes they've had to do that, but we've run extension cords from wherever I've had to. It's shared power with two restaurants. You know, and I also over-prepare the power so that there's a little wiggle room.
How do you do power in a pier? Like, well, and for 70 restaurants.
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, we have the tie-in because it's an old historical building with actually quite a lot of power from the old industrial days in there. We distribute it out with cable and cam locks. I make a map ahead of time where which size circuits need to go in what locations, and we run it all out there on Tuesday and Wednesday. And we hope that nobody shows up on Thursday with any surprises.
It really is a production.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I get to listen to them talking about. I have no idea what they're doing or what they're talking about half the time. So for me, Feastival's like, oh, now I get to finally see what I've been talking about and selling to people and getting donors involved with. And then I'm like, God, they're so good. Like, I have no idea what they're talking about, but the production on this event and the logistics are by far superior to anything I've ever seen for an event.
It was a lot of prep.
Drawings, yeah. CADs, power calculations. I'm doing rigging calculations to make sure we can rig these people safely from certain places in the building. Engineering, it's all involved.
So your prep that you're doing is it like your safety,
absolutely,
electricity?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Go through the list. Like, what are the things that you have to check to make sure that there are no accidents, no fires, no explosions?
So a lot of this is a collaboration with Kelly.
No outages. Could you imagine?
Oh, yes.
Yes, we can.
we can imagine
that's
that.
That's it. They can imagine that.
And you do, and that's why you prepare. Oh, my goodness. Okay, wait, go ahead. So tell me.
So yeah. It's power for all the restaurants. It's event lighting. So the pier is beautiful, but at night it's lit by these large industrial lighting fixtures, which is not really our vibe. So we're hanging entertainment truss and concert lighting. In fact, our lighting director, Terry Smith, is the lighting director for Fish on tour. And he also does this gig for us to make our event look really amazing. So we're putting event lighting throughout the space, lighting, highlighting the performance areas, highlighting Audi's cars. We'll feature 5 cars at the event, one of which, like I said, will be the VR Painter. And in addition to power rigging audio, making sure that the audio system can be heard throughout the entirety of the event, and that it looks like something when you're driving up from outside, that there's some lighting elements, there's some decor out there that works.
And then safety.
Safety, of course. All these performers need to hang from the air and not fall down for their own sake and the sake of those below them.
Do you have like different directions? And I'm thinking zip lines and craziness, trusses.
Well, currently there's no zip line. As much as our our director, Nick, would want there to be a zip line in that event, we haven't been able to figure that one out yet. But we do have tightropes, and we're anchoring the tightrope to parts of the building and working with the circus people to make sure that they're going to be in a safe location and when they can go up and when they can go away so people can pass underneath them.
Wow.
It's fantastic. And then I go into it every year confident it's just going to be so great. And it always is so great because they just do such a great job.
So what are your expectations for the 10th anniversary?
I am expecting to be able to enjoy the event more than normal because I don't have to strike the event and give a street back to the city of Philadelphia 2 hours after the event is over.
How long do you have to strike it?
Because we're not reopening
the street.
Exactly. Before the city of Philadelphia, the very first year we did this, they actually only gave us the street from 4 p.m. before the event until 2 a.m. after the event. So we had built staging and stuff and set it off to the side on the sidewalks. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we would throw it onto Ray Street in the last 2 hours right before the event.
But you're not like in that location. You're not taking up streets. You're on a pier.
Correct. So we can just tie up a few loose ends at the end of the night. Everyone can go home, have a good night's sleep, come back 8 a.m. the next morning, and then we can work on tearing down the event.
Right, because it's not going to affect traffic.
Exactly.
You just shut the pier down, which they're not using anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're open from 11 to 11 every day. So even while we're in there doing a lot of our production stuff, we're going to keep passage so everyone can still access all of the shipping containers, the artist space, and the park at the end of the pier. There'll still be safe access to that.
Cool.
Yeah.
But you have to have, like, pathways anyway, right?
Oh, yeah. We got 400 feet of rope and stanchion?
400 feet of rope and stanchion to create an aisle for the public.
Are any of the artists going to be there working while the event is going on?
So do you mean the artists in the spaces? Or
yeah.
Yes, they're up in there until about 6 o'clock right before our event. So during the event itself, some of the artists have actually been very generous and lent us their space. And Olaf, who's curating the event, will put some performers in the windows of those shipping containers, too, and will be part of the event.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You're really going to have a great event this year.
Yeah, we will.
All right, let's talk about your 1,100 people. So tell me about where the money goes and how much you hope to raise and what do you use it for?
Yeah, so every single cent we raise goes to Fringe Arts. And we're hoping to raise about $600,000 to $700,000 this year. In total, we've raised about $5 million. And we have had the best year with sponsors who've come in, and the money goes to Fringe Arts.
So tell me about Fringe Arts.
So Fringe Arts is a wonderful nonprofit organization. It's a performing arts organization. They've been doing the Philadelphia Live Arts Festival for about 24 years, I think.
1997 was the first
Since year. 1997. Yeah. And this became the Fringe Festival. And they've actually, in the last 5 years, opened up a theater as well as started 3 new festivals. A comedy festival, a circus festival, and an emerging artist festival on top of the festival that they do every September, which leads up to Festival, or we're like the hurrah after it. And it has just grown so much in the last 10 years. They have a restaurant in that space. It's Le Peg. And it's just becoming a year-round performing arts center, which it wasn't for many, many years.
And Festival paid for that.
We pay for part of it, yeah. And lots of amazing donors.
It's a wonderful festival. I mean, I've been involved since 2007 in one way or another, and I've done other festivals around the world somewhat in the same vein as Fringe Arts here in Philly. And it just, all these international artists come in from all over to do work here, as well as, of course, the scene in Philadelphia itself all comes together to put on some of their best, new, interesting work during this 3-week period of the Fringe Festival.
It sounds like it's really helped grow the Philadelphia art scene and culinary scene.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Is it Fringe that helped the culinary scene that helped Fringe?
I think it's a symbiotic relationship.
I think what Festival has done for the culinary scene is at least bring to light that there's a real artistic aspect to the culinary scene in Philadelphia. So it's really a different kind of art that's performing, for lack of a better way to put it, at Festival with the art. So it's really cool to see that.
All right. So give us the details. It's Thursday, September 26th. How can you get your tickets and how much are they?
You can go to www.phillyfestival.com and tickets are $300 for general admission and $450 for VIP, which is an additional hour from 6 to 10 or from 7 to 10.
That's a lot of art, a lot of money for a lot of art.
Yeah.
It supports a lot of people.
It is. We're very fortunate.
And how does this year compare to previous years as far as how many people?
I think we're actually having our best fundraising year so far with sponsorship, and we seem to be a little bit ahead with ticket sales. People are very excited about it, so which we are at capacity.
Yes, we are.
I'm very aware of that.
There's a physical limitation.
Yeah. So, but we think we're going to have the biggest and best one so far.
Well, happy 10th birthday. Happy 10th anniversary.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so.
Joanne Martyr, David Todaro, and Kelly Clark. They are three of the six people that organize everything and just a small fraction of the hundreds of people that put on this gigantic event. Once again, if you want to get tickets, you can go to
www.phillyfestival.com.
All right. Thank you so much. And the event is on Thursday, September 26th. So we'll see you at the pier.
Thank you.
Cherry Street Pier, right?
Yep.
All right. Cherry Street Pier.
That's it for this episode of What's Cooking on KYW. You can follow the show and get other delicious tidbits on Instagram at foodinthe215. And follow me on Twitter and Facebook for more news and insights at Hadas Kuznets. If you have a food tip or feedback about the show, reach out. And please take a moment to help us by rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. It helps us to keep making the podcast and get it to new listeners. I'm Hadas Kuznets, and that's What's Cooking.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.